Rabbi Feiner pointed out, this year we sort of turned it over and we made an hapachu. And usually I give the opening section on the first part of the Haggadah, and this year it's going to be on the second part of the Haggadah. But then I was discussing with Rabbi Feiner, where do you start the second part of the Haggadah? In other words, what is the second part? And so we did agree that it would be probably the logical place would be Rabbi Gamliel Hoya Omer, Kol Shloya Omer Shloshet Bar Melo BePesach Lo Yotzei Yedei Chavosav. That would be a logical transition point. And it's a bridge. And so I want to begin there, but what I want to focus on this evening is on the whole concept of redemption and of Geula and of Pesach itself. It says here, to begin the second part of the Haggadah, that Rabbi Gamliel says that you must discuss three areas. And the three areas that you're supposed to discuss are those that are called Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. Pesach, of course, refers to the Korban Pesach. It refers to the offering, the Korban Pesach, which was not even brought on Pesach. It was brought on the 14th day of Nisan. And so it's brought before Pesach. But we do eat it on the night of Pesach, and that is Pesach. Then Matzah, of course, which is such an integral part of the Yontif. And then Morah. Bechlal, you notice that the sequence doesn't seem to be correct, because the Morah certainly preceded the Matzah. And the Svasemis, among many others, points that out, that we don't have really Seder. And yet this is the one evening when we do emphasize the concept of Seder, the concept of order. And yet we put Pesach and Matzah before we put the Morah, even though historically the bitterness of the bondage and of the labor came first. And again, historically, Pesach, if that's the Korban Pesach, and if it's not the Korban Pesach, then it means the Pesach that is mentioned in the Torah, where the name Pesach first appears, and that is when the Rabbein Shloilom comes and he passes over the Jewish homes because of the dam, because of the blood that is on the lintel and on the doorposts. And so, again, there must be a reason why we say Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. In passing, Rabbi Feiner mentioned, which is a Rashi, right there in Parshas Bo, and that is, what does the word Pesach mean? Because the Pesach in Parshas Bo says, O Pesach Hashem, Ala Pesach. The Rabbein Shalom is going to pass over Pesach Al HaPesach. So it's interesting how you have that play on words. We have Pesach and Pesach, and they don't have any real connection, because Pesach is the passing over, skipping, and the Pesach, of course, means the door, the Pesach, the opening to a place. There was a famous Rebbe, Rabboch Mimeshbush. Rabboch Mimeshbush once focused on this question. And he said that we have a klal that the Chachamim have taught us. And that is that there is a Seder, there is a Derech, when it comes to connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, Pesach is a time when we have tremendous connection with Hashem. And if you listen carefully to the words that the Maharadasra spoke, he really emphasized that. And that is that we do have this connection between ourself and the Almighty. In many ways, there is a similarity on Pesach with the time of the year that we call the Yom Ha'Nora'im, the days of awe, and the concept of tshuva. Tshuva has a definite link with Pesach. And indeed, the Haftorah that we will read in Yitz Hashem this coming Shabbos, Parshas Tzav, but above all is Shabbos HaGadol, we dare read from the Novi, from Malachi, and there we speak about the concept of tshuva. We speak about the repentance and the return that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Rabbi Rabbah Mibenshbush said there is a Seder. There is an order. And the order that we have is simply as follows. And that is peacefully Pesach kechudoi shel machat v'ani eftach lachem Pesach kepischoi shel ulo. Listen what Chazal are saying. Chazal say, where does it have to start from? Whenever there's tshuva, whenever there's a reconciliation, and that's always been the problem, be it in the relationship of human beings one with another, when you have a misunderstanding, when you have a rift, when you have differences of opinion, and you say, let's try to repair it. Let's try to correct it. Let's try to have some sort of a bridge. Where does it have to start? It has to start someplace. Who's going to be the one that is going to open up the Pesach, that's going to open the door? So the Chazal are teaching us that there has been a rift between man and the Almighty, really from the beginning of time. From the very beginning of the creation of Adam HaRishon. So you see that even in Gan Eden, which is the ideal place, which we call paradise, already man misbehaved, and man was driven forth from the Gan Eden. So you see that this relationship between the human being and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, going back to the beginning of time, was always a very troubled one. And so that's why the Chachamim say, if you're going to repair and you're going to try to close this breach, you know who has to start? You have to start. But it's interesting if you look carefully. It says, Pisuli Pesach Kuchudei Shel Machat. Doesn't have a big Pesach. It can be a very small opening. It could be a small aperture. It could be so small, no bigger than the hole that is made when you take a needle and you push that needle through the material. How big is the opening? How big is that? It's only with a needle. Pesach shel machat. That's what the Medrash calls it. How big is the Pisrei Shel Ulam? Pisrei Shel Ulam is a big door. It's a big opening. It's an opening that enters into the Kodesh, that enters into the Holy of Holies. But the opening must begin with you. Pisuli Pesach Kechudei Shel Machat, and God will then repay you by multiplying and by increasing the opening 100-fold. You just have to begin, and he will respond to you with this complete generous spirit. The Kuska once said, you notice he says, Pisuli Pesach Kechudei Shel Machat. So he says it's a very small opening, Chodesh Amachat. He says, but one thing you must remember, in Yiddish it sounded better, he says, when you push that needle through the material, it says duch and duch. It goes through from beginning to end. It isn't superficial. You cannot just stick a needle in and not have it go from one end to the other end. You know what happened in Mitzrayim? In Mitzrayim, that's where the whole concept of Pesach comes from. Uposach Hashem ala Pesach. God says, I'm willing to skip over and pass over this order that normally I insist upon. Normally I insist that when there's going to be a reconciliation between the Jewish people and the Almighty, where does it have to start? It has to start with you. Pisuli Pesach, kechudesh Shamachat. But you know what I'm going to do on this holiday? You know what I'm going to do when the force of redemption, the force of Geula, is operative? Uposach Hashem ala Pesach. The Ben Shem is willing to skip over and to leap over this prerequisite on your part that you have to take the first step. And this is one time the Ben Shem says, I'm willing to take the first step. Uposach Hashem al HaPesach. That's what the Rebbe Rabbah said. But it means, therefore, that the Jews may not have been worthy at that time to have been redeemed. And indeed, there is always that question, and those who are acquainted with the writings of people regarding the redemption of the Jewish people in our time. Or if you want to go back, if you will, if you want to go back to the early Shiva Sion movements, when Jews began to speak in terms of returning to Eretz Israel. And you had the religious Zionists from the very beginning, those who understood that Shiva Sion could not only just be a return to Zion in the physical sense, that you're going to get on a boat or a plane and you're going to go back there as Israel and you're going to drain the swamps and you're going to reclaim the land. But they realized that going back to Eretz Israel meant that it had to be Eretz HaKadosha, that it had to have sanctity to it. And therefore, they realized that the question was, when you go back to Eretz Israel and you reclaim the land, what should come first? And what's going to take time? And where do you have to have infinite patience? And where, on the other hand, are you able to work with alacrity and with haste, even? There was a man who was a Talmud Muvot of Rav Kook Zatzal. His name was Rav Chalap. Rav Chalap wrote many interesting svarim. Included among those svarim is a Pirush commentary that he wrote on the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And he calls it Mei Morom, meaning heavenly waters, waters from above. And he makes a very interesting comment and observation regarding the whole idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he says, in general, if you look carefully in Tanakh, you begin with Chumash, then go to the Nevi'im, and see what is the character of the Geula of Mitzrayim, and what will be the character of the future Geula, of the future redemption. And he says the Geula of Mitzrayim is summarized in one Hebrew word, and that is chiposon. Chiposon means haste. It was done very fast, very quick. That's one side of the coin. But the other side of the coin is that we are taught and have been taught that the Geula HaSida is going to come kima kima, slowly, step by step by step. Ha'af Kook Zatzal used to constantly preach that. And he used to say that we cannot be impatient. And we cannot think for one moment that unless everyone who comes to Eretz Yisrael is frum and has Yiras Shamayim and is a Shomer Torah Mitzvos, then we cannot work with people who don't have that sensitivity to the fulfillment of Mitzvos in Torah. He shows that the Ramban especially, when he talks about Geula, the Geula HaSida. So the Ramban points out that the difference between the Geula HaSida, the future Geula, and the Geula that took place in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, which is of course the prototype, that they are not similar. They are not the same. He says the Geula Mitzrayim is one word. Chiposel, haste. How do you make matzos? Matzos, you can't have a lot of patience. You know about 18-minute matzos. But it is just a question of how many minutes, although it's important. But we know that when you make matzo, when you bake matzo, you cannot take your time. You can't be too patient. Because then it's going to become the chametz. It's going to become chametz. It's going to become leavened. So you see in the matzah itself, you see this concept of chiposel, that it has to be quick, fast, not with patience, step by step. But harav. But Rav Chalap makes a very fine distinction. And he says it depends what aspect of redemption you're talking about. He says if you're talking about the physical aspect of redemption as opposed to the spiritual aspect of redemption. And he says the physical aspect of redemption in the future Geula, he says that's going to be kima kima, slowly. You had a Balfour Declaration. You had the beginning of a Zionist movement. You had the Chovevet Zion. You had those who committed themselves to return to Eretz Yisrael. And that was kima kima. That was step by step by step. That was not chiposel. That was not chiposel. So he says, then what will be chiposel? Not the physical, not the material geula, the return. Because we've seen, it's not a question of believing. It's not a question of trying to read history or change history. We saw that the return to Zion, the return to Eretz Yisrael, meaning the Geula, the beginning of the Geula HaSida, we saw how it unfolded. And we saw that in the physical aspects of Geula, there we saw that it was kima kima. It had to be step by step. Step by step. And he says, on the other hand, he says, the spiritual Geula is going to come very suddenly. Very, very suddenly. He says, Pisom. What does Pisom in Hebrew mean? Suddenly. And so he points out, Cook always preached this, and that is that if you look in the Navi Malachi, Malachi says the following. He says, Malachi teaches us that Pisom, suddenly, Yovo el Hoheicho, Ho'odon Asher Atem Mavakshim. The master that you are looking for, the Redeemer that you are waiting for, it's going to happen pisom. It's going to happen suddenly. And if you say, well, is that the way Geula comes? Does Geula come suddenly, or does it come step by step? And the answer is, you see, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, there was also that aspect, that it was Pesach, where you had to skip, and you had to leap, and you couldn't just walk normally, or even run. It had to be Pesach. And so, in Shir HaShir, why do we read Shir HaShir on Pesach? We read Shir HaShir on Pesach because really there is hidden the secret of the Geula and the Geula HaAsida, of the future redemption. Because in Shir HaShir you have the following. Heviani El Beis Hayayin. We say, my beloved brought me to that place where the yayin is, where the wine is. The doglu olai ava. What does that mean? The doglu olai ava. And the love that he has for me and that I have for him, that's the relationship between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says it was doglu. What's doglu? Doglu means to skip. Doglu means that you do things not in a normal way of walking, but rather you leap. And that's Pesach. Pesach is the leap. Rashi says Pesach is the same as Dolgu. Rashi says right here in Parshas Bo. And he says the difference is the physical redemption and the spiritual redemption. And he says, for the spiritual redemption, we need a tremendous amount of patience. For the spiritual redemption, it'll come. And when it does come, he says, it'll come suddenly. It'll come very suddenly. If you look a little more carefully at the whole Baal Teshuva movement, it came without our being aware that it was coming. There were no signs that it was in the offing. It's just like the collapse of evil empires. No difference. Do you remember when the Soviet Union, when Russia, was that tremendous political and military power. And they rivaled the United States, including their scientific, technological progress. And we said, look how big that country is. Look how massive it is. Look at their natural resources. And we said, how can this empire ever collapse? Can't. It's there forever and ever. And suddenly we looked around, and what happened was, it came to an end. It came to an end. It's still there, but it's not what it was when there was the Soviet Union. Because when it comes to that aspect, there you saw the chipazon. There you saw the sudden haste that occurred without our realizing and appreciating what was happening. And so we have to understand that the way the Rabbeinu Shlomo conducts his world is not the way that we can truly grasp and understand it. In other words, the Pesach, the skipping, the leaping, is something that repeats itself in history, be it the history of the world, or be it Jewish history. Except the only observation that Rav Chalap makes is that when it comes to the spiritual transformation, that's going to be b'chipazon. That's going to be with alacrity. And that's going to be suddenly. And we want to understand how it's happening suddenly. But when it comes to the physical aspect, to the material aspect, we saw how long we're still working simply to take Jews out of Golos, to bring them to Eretz Yisrael, to build up the land, to give them the possibility to have homes to live in, to reclaim the soil, to build up the economy. That we've seen with our eyes. That's kima kima. That goes step by step by step. That's slowly. But that's not true of the Ruchnius. The Ruchnius is going to be suddenly. Suddenly. And so, when we say, does history repeat itself? The answer is, of course. That's what Rav Gamliel is saying. Kol shalei omer shloshet dvarim eilu b'pesach lo yotze yedecha vosei. Because first and foremost, you have to understand there is Pesach. And Pesach means there is dilug. There's the leaping and there's the skipping, which you cannot understand logically because there is no logic. And by the same token, right after that, you are told to study matzah, because matzah also says there is haste. There has to be haste. V'lo yuchlu lehismameya. They could not wait. I think, again, Rav Chalap in his Haggadah says, when it says that they could not wait, they could not contain themselves, he means that even if you wanted to exercise your self-discipline, you can't. It's there. It's pushing you. It's driving you. And there's no way that you can control it. When the time came for Geula from Mitzrayim, when the time came for that, the Jews could not control their tremendous desire and their need to pick themselves up and leave. They could not wait even for another second. And that's symbolized in the matzah. And that's symbolized also in Pesach, in the skipping. And then you have the maror. But the maror is something which is laced through the entire historic periods. The maror is there in the Churban. The maror is there in Jewish history with all of the Jewish blood. And it's there with all of the Churban and all of the Holocaust. And that's all the maror. Except the maror cannot really be understood and appreciated until after there is the liberation. Until after there is the freedom. Until after there is deliverance. After deliverance, we then can look back and see what that maror really means. And what the maror did for us. You cannot say that in the midst of the bara. You can only say that after the matzah and the cheres is there. That's why it's Pesach, matzah, and then bara. Because bara means the understanding of what bara does for us and where it leads. And we begin actually with the end. We begin with the Pesach and with the matzah. But above all, in the Pesach, we say, don't look for logic and don't look for reason. Don't look for that which is suddenly going to make a lot of sense. Because the truth is, it will not. There's going to be a lot of leaping and a lot of skipping. And you're going to be missing a lot of pieces in that jigsaw puzzle where you get the answers, but eventually you will see it. Chacham once said, the first city that the Jews ever conquered in Eretz Yisrael, that is mentioned in the Torah, was the city that was ruled by Sichon. The name of that city was Cheshbon. That was the name of the city. Name of the city was Cheshbon. So in reality, the first fortified city which stood in the way of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael on the part of the Jews was Cheshbon. Says, you know why it was Cheshbon? Because that was to teach us that before you can really succeed in the conquest of the land, you have to realize that there's no such thing as Cheshbon. There is no such thing as logic and accounting. First, you got to get rid of the idea of Cheshbon. Al kein yomru hamoshlim bo Cheshbon. So it says, to those who give parables, what's the first thing that they say? Come, let's look at Cheshbon. Or let's make a Cheshbon. And when you try to make the Cheshbon, it doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. I think that's what the Chachamim mean when they tell us that Mashiach is going to come in a way that we will not even anticipate that he is coming. And the Chazal call it Hesach Hadas. Always bothered me. What do you mean? Mashiach is going to come behesach hadas. Hesach hadas means a lack of awareness. Hesach hadas means when we're not even thinking about it. Hesach hadas also means when our das, when our intellect actually goes on vacation. You have to waive the intellect. You have to get rid of the cheshbon. You have to get rid of the logic. And a Chacham once said, why do we have the Jewish custom to drink 4 cups of wine the night of the Seder? You realize what we're doing? We are actually doing that which is going to make us inebriated. It's going to make us drunk. We're not going to be able to have a clear thinking mind at the end of the Seder. Because we will have had 4 cups of wine. There will be no das. No das. But that's when Mashiach comes. Hesach Hadas. So let me just conclude with the myself of Chaim Mivolozhin. Chaim Mivolozhin was once asked to explain, what do you mean that Mashiach will come with Hesach Hadas? He says, I'll explain it to you. He says, I'm going to explain it in a way that anyone can understand it. He says, I'm sitting at home watching our baby, and the baby is sleeping peacefully in the crib. My wife comes to me and says, I have to run out and get something at the store. I put up some soup and meat and it's cooking on the range. It's cooking on the stove. All I'm asking you, I know I don't want to be mabatel you from learning, because you was a gevaldike masmin. She said, just keep your eye on the baby. Make sure that he's safe. Also, keep your eye on that soup and meat. Don't let it burn. Don't let it run over. He said, and I'll be back very soon. He said, fine. I'll be more than happy to do that. And she goes out. A man comes suddenly running into the house and says, Rebbe, look. Look at the sun. Isn't the sun different than usual? And he says, he was right. The sun is shining. I never saw a sun like that. The birds are chirping, and then suddenly they stop. Nature seems to have changed. And he says, Rebbe, you know what's happening? Mashiach came. Mashiach came. And I say, okay, Mashiach is here. I have to go find my Shabbos rettel. I have to get my Shabbos coat. And I realize and I remind myself that this past week, the button fell off of my jacket. And I had said to my wife, do me a favor. Please sew the button back again. She says, don't worry. Before next Shabbos, I will have sewed that button back again. But now, I need the Shabbos rekel. I need the Shabbos coat. And it doesn't have a button. Then all of a sudden, I hear something. Baby is crying. And then all of a sudden, I smell something. The soup and the meat, it certainly is overcooking. And I smell and I hear. And Mashiach is here. And I want to go be mekabel upon a Mashiach, and I can't because there's no button on my coat. He says, that's Hesach Hadas. That's Hesach Hadas. Because we're not ready. We're not prepared. We cannot make plans for when Mashiach comes. We cannot make plans. Because he's going to come at a time when it's going to be inconvenient. But the main thing is that it's going to be sudden. It's going to be b'chipozon. It's going to be b'hesach hadas. And that's what every Jew has to believe every year when he sits at the Seder and celebrates the original Gula. Chakosha v'sameach.
But you should remember.